Folks, there's a move afoot in the state legislature, House Bill 906 by Representative Billings, that provides that the party primary elections at each party, Democrat Party, Republican Party, can choose whether or not non-affiliated voters can participate and vote in either the Republican or Democratic primary. That's a huge change from where we have been in this state for a long, long time. And it seems to be moving really fast. And I talked a little bit about this in my monologue early this morning. And we're joined by Pearson Cross, director of the School of Behavior and Social Sciences at the University of Louisiana Monroe. Pearson, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So give us a little bit of the background. What is really driving this at this present time? It seems as though party controls seems to be top of mind for each party right now.
I think that's right. You know, we live in an era where partisan struggle seems to define our era. So I think both parties are thinking they want a little more control over who the candidates for their party are. You know, if you stick with a jungle primary, lots of times you may end up with a more moderate candidate or a candidate who doesn't really represent the most either Republican or Democratic leaning people in the in your party. So it's a purity move.
So this purity move, and I love the way that you put that, we're basically taking a whole set. And let me rephrase this. I think you would agree that there's been a growing number of folks that, you know, registered independent, and now they refer to it as something different today, because they're not happy with the party vibe, you know, either Democrats or Republicans, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's the biggest trend really all across the country, is the rise of no party or non-affiliated voters. Younger voters are strongly aiming that way. Here in Louisiana, there are about already over 800,000 no party voters registered with the state. So it's the fastest growing, and it seems to be the wave of the future, which is odd given that the move in the legislature is towards closing those people out.
So this bill provides that 180 days prior to the opening of qualifying for the first party primary, that the political party would notify the Department of State that they either want to allow or not allow these no party voters to participate in their primary. Now, I read through the bill, and I don't know what the state of it is, but I was kind of looking, can they do this by each individual race? So if you have PSC openings running at the same time as the Supreme Court, can they say, we want to do this for the PSC, but not for the Supreme Court?
No, they can't do that. So the way the bill's written, 906, House Bill 906, is it has to be the same for all races. So if the Democrats decide to exclude no party voters, then none of their races could include them.
For that particular election, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And then the next election, they get to decide again, assuming they meet that 180-day window.
So that purity that you're talking about is very strategic. I mean, they can kind of assess what's out there, what's going on, what the mood of the may be, and decide, yeah, you know, we don't want to allow them this time because we think that there might be something going on here that we don't like.
Well, yeah, and that's true, and it can be used strategically. I mean, there's nothing more strategic than levering a two-term incumbent senator out of his seat. And, of course, I'm referring to Bill Cassidy here.
Right.
But having the closed primary was the single most important ingredient for making sure that he's not going to represent Louisiana. Arguably, in an open primary, he comes in first, or he comes in probably second, but maybe first.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was telling this story briefly in a monologue I did this morning. I think the big concern that I have is, what are the next races that they make this apply to? When I was the sheriff, I had the opportunity to meet a lot of sheriffs from a lot of states that ran through these closed primary systems. And I remember talking to this one gentleman who elected sheriff in Indiana. He said he sat on the sidelines for decades waiting for the opportunity to run for sheriff. The guy had a resume that was one of the most impressive that I've ever seen. I said, I don't understand. How does this work? He goes, if you don't have the party behind you, you have nothing. You win. You can't. There's no way that it'll happen. And to me, that seemed tragic. I mean, so many good people with good CVs or resumes that have a desire to offer themselves up to the public, not given the chance, because a few folks inside that party decide who gets the go and who doesn't.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's a hardcore party move. Of course, in Louisiana, when Edwin Edwards first instituted the jungle primary, it was in order to help the Democrats, you know, who were having to run all these races. So, you know, the move to not have party count specifically was also, you know, driven by party considerations. Now things have changed, and this move is driven by party considerations. So I guess you could argue both ways.
So what do you think the likelihood is that there's an expansion of offices that they're going to apply this to?
Well, I think the likelihood is over 50%. I mean, I was surprised that they didn't go for state legislative races and other races that, you know, take place in the state this time, and that it was so limited. But I think they're going to try to, you know, they're going to eat the pie one piece at a time. And I think that this was the first piece.
Well, because a lot of these folks that are sitting in there right now, they might not get the party's support, right?
I mean, right.
I'm sure you could name a dozen. I mean, you know. It's funny how that works, that they're voting in favor of this knowing that some of them themselves probably couldn't get the party support to be there.
Yeah, it seems very duplicitous. Like, I'm in now, so I'm going to make it so that other people can't come in and challenge me, you know. So it's very much self-serving. But, you know, a lot of what goes on in our government and legislature seems to be pretty self-serving. And I look at districting as example number one. This may be example number two. You know, rigging the districts to vote to elect people specifically, and then rigging the style of voting or the way the voting structure works in order to elect the people that you want to elect. You know, it's insider dealing, it feels like.
Nothing new. I mean, obviously, you know, it was interesting. For all the years that I've been, I was involved in politics. When I was at Tulane Law School, I took a class with Bubba Henry.
Yeah.
And he talked the entire semester about the inner workings of Congress. And I didn't realize how much the rules were set up for perpetuation of the party. You know, it really wasn't about issues in large measure. It was really about control. And
totally.
It seems like that this is what we're trying to mimic here today in Louisiana.
Well, if we get a, I hope not, but if we start to have a rules committee in the House, I think that's when you'll know we've really crossed the line into a completely new area. You know, but you're right, the U.S. Congress is very procedure and rules set up. And it really, as we can see with budget things and with reconciliation and all those kinds of things, it really limits the freedom that members have and so on. But because, see, Congress is a little bit of an outlier on this, not like us, because, you know, the provisions for their election are locked into the Constitution, which is much, much harder to change than it is for our legislature to pass a different kind of bill.
Yeah, which the only way that they can control the members, because they can't control the way that they're elected, right?
Right.
And I guess is the point that you're making, is by having those rules committees dictate what's going to obviously happen. But, you know, and the thing is, though, that if you part with the party line, where does that leave you? Here in the construct that we may end up with here if they move to make these legislative seats the same way? Your thoughts?
Well, it's pretty interesting in the sense that we've never had parliamentary style parties here in the United States, you know, because in part we haven't had that discipline. Once you're elected by the voters, you can go any direction you want. So this is an attempt to get some party discipline, but starting at the other end with the voters themselves. So, okay, we can't stop your behavior once you're elected, but we can alter how you get elected, what the rules are under which you get there, and so on.
Right. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I love watching Parliament, because it's, you know, the plurality that goes on there is, to me, very interesting to watch the dynamics and, how that ultimately impacts the debates that are had and everything else. You don't see that here.
Right.
You know, much. You don't see it at all in Congress, and you just don't see it here in Louisiana either.
Yeah, we have a very different system, you know. I mean, the founders didn't anticipate political parties. And in fact, the founders inveighed against political parties. And then I guess because they're written into the nature of humans, we almost immediately broke into parties and things have been running along party lines ever since. But there were some real strangleholds in the 19th century. It feels like we're moving back in that direction in the 21st.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, and I know you talk to a lot of folks. I don't, even hardcore Republicans that I interact with, I don't have any of them telling me that they favor this approach. They actually enjoyed the freedom in a jungle primary to choose. Now, they didn't cross party lines very often, but there were opportunities and examples where they did, and they felt really good about it.
This is the odd thing about all this is that the jungle primary is quite popular with the electorate and with just people in general. People get outraged when they find out they can't vote for the party of their choice or vote for the politician of their choice. And the idea that just because I'm a Republican, I can't vote for, you know, Democrat or Independent X is outrageous to most people in Louisiana. It's like, it almost feels like fundamental rights are being taken away.
Pearson, we're speaking with Pearson Cross, director of the School of Behavior and Social Sciences at the University of Louisiana, Monroe. The way that the state constitution is set up, could parish by parish decide their local elections to be done through a closed primary system? Do you know?
I think they could only decide that based on elections within that parish. And given that there are very few. I mean, the elections that are within the parish would be for, you know, parish council or alderman or those kind
parish
of things.
Parish president.
Parish president. So I think the answer to that question is yes.
It's going to be interesting to see whether, you know, who might be the first parish that decides to do something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and what the construct of the parish may be, meaning the separation of an emerging, party that's close to overcoming or, you know, another party to ensure, you know, that this other party wants to get the furthest to the right to separate from the furthest to the left.
Right. Well, you know, that impulse to separate from other people is still in American politics, but because of our single member districts, I mean, every position pretty much that we elect in the United States is a single member district, with some very few exceptions. So there's really, as long as we have that, there's a tendency to cohere towards the middle. So there's no reward for being the most conservative unless you can somehow block other voters who are less likely to be conservative and just have a party, a primary among your people.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see just how far this goes. I'm just kind of curious.
I'd like to see what Yeah,
how
I'd like
soon?
To see what Nancy Landry says about that parish or control of local elections issues. Because the Secretary of State, you know, as you know, supervises pretty much all elections in Louisiana to some extent, in terms of vote totals and all those other kinds of things and rules and et cetera. So I'd be very curious to see an opinion from the Secretary of State's office.
You know, because a lot of the folks, well, you know, it's interesting in some of the closed primary states, folks that I talk to, that, you know, they kind of progress from these local offices, you know, which they were, some of them refer to them as kind of sub offices, to get to these major offices, and the state legislature being one of them. And you come up through this party primary system, through, you know, your local county elections, and the county party representatives have a lot of say in what actually happens there. It's kind of the same process replicated from the state, you know, to locals. And as fast as we're moving down this path today, I'm very curious as to how that's going to happen. I don't think the public's going to be in favor of it, but they don't organize. They're not really, I don't see any organized opposition to what's happening. These votes in the state legislature are almost unanimous, you know, amongst the Republicans.
Well, it should be noted that the committee that decided about the closed primary, it was a 4-3 committee decision. So there are people pushing back on this move, but they're certainly not the party in power.
Right. Absolutely. As always, truly appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much for joining us. Pearson Cross, Director of the School of Behavior and Social Sciences at the University of Louisiana Monroe. Have a great week.
Thanks, you as well.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Love to hear from you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.